Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Just a few years ago, one TV news story went viral. A teenager in Washington State lived in the woods with his dog, feeding himself with food stolen from homes and convenience stores. Young man was identified as Colton Harris Moore, dubbed the Barefoot Bandit for his shoeless robberies. His reputation grew as he outwitted countless police efforts to bring him down. And when it was revealed that he escaped in borrowed prop planes, that he taught himself to fly, his reputation soared. He was chased across the continent until he was finally caught in the Bahamas. A new documentary called Fly, Colt, Fly tells his story in a combination of reenactments, animated sequences, news clips, and interviews with the people he met along his journey. The movie's having its world premiere this weekend at the Next Wave Film Festival and opens in theaters at the Royal on February 21st. And I'm very pleased to have the filmmakers, brothers Adam and Andrew Gray, here in studio to tell us a bit more about the saga of the trickster, traveler, flyer, and folk hero Colton Harris Moore. Adam, Andrew.
How's it going?
Thanks for having us, Daniel.
Thanks for coming. So who is the Barefoot Bandit?
Well, the Barefoot Bandit is the teenage outlaw folk hero, you know, for a new generation. And, you know, he really captured people's imagination, not only because he was on the run for 2 years and they just couldn't catch him, but because he had a certain appeal. He was nonviolent, you know. He was a sympathetic character. You know, people automatically liked him. And what made the story huge was him, while living in the woods on the run, teaching himself how to fly from stolen airplane manuals and, you know, flight simulators, and then going out there and stealing planes. And it just blew people's minds.
How do you get his name?
The Barefoot Bandit.
Well, there was a lot of bare footprints found at his crime scenes. And what's interesting is that he had actually been doing this since he was 10 or 12 years old. And he just would not be deterred. They'd lock him up for 10 days. He'd get out. He'd do it again. They'd lock him up again. He was arrested about 6 or 7 times within like 2 years. And he's only like 14.
Yeah. I don't think anyone really knows why he went barefoot. You know, there's theories that, you know, he grew up deep in the woods in a trailer park in Washington State. And spent a lot of time running through the woods, and that maybe he had learned from the Indians that this was the fastest way to travel through the woods, or maybe it helped him climb up walls because he was a burglar, you know.
That's what his mother actually told us, is that he was running through the woods one day and having a great old time, and she said, well, you know, you could go a lot faster if you took off your shoes. We actually have native heritage, she said, and you know, that's you'll go a lot faster without shoes, Colton. And
he is an extremely fast runner. Indeed. Outran a lot of police.
The movie's called Fly, Colt, Fly. Tell me about his obsession with planes. Where did that come from? What was that?
Well, it's hard to say, you know, what sparked it, but certainly people were saying from the time he was a little kid that he was obsessed with airplanes. We've seen photographs of his little room in this trailer, and it's covered in airplane posters, and he had this obsessive interest. He would tell other kids that his dad was a pilot in the Air Force, and which was not true. His dad was a convict who was, you know, in jail. But yeah, ever since he was young, he just studied airplanes and just seemed to be waiting for this chance to actually get up in the air. You know, maybe because he had such a tough childhood and was repressed, that there was something about freedom, you know, the metaphor of freedom and flying away that maybe appealed to him.
I think it's kind of geographic as well. In the Pacific Northwest, there's especially around where Colton was living, There's a lot of aviation. There's a big Boeing plant. There's a lot of rich people with personal planes.
Not that it's all islands.
Yeah, and it's all island hopping area.
So tell me about the role of social media in the story: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all started in 2008, 2009. So Facebook was a little bit more fresh at the time, and it really took off. For one thing, without giving away the whole story, is they really didn't know. They weren't certain that he had taught himself to fly and was stealing planes until he'd already stolen three of them. Like, for the public at large, they didn't realize it until there's this 18-year-old kid who's literally stolen three planes, taught himself to fly, outran a SWAT team. There's choppers. And people went crazy.
Yeah.
And as soon as the first kid wrote a YouTube ballad about him, and someone made a T-shirt with his face on it, it just took off.
Yeah, it really exploded. Like, he had literally 100,000 fans or likes on Facebook. They're all fan Facebook pages, and the T-shirts started coming out. There was music. People are taking his head and photoshopping it into all sorts of different famous pieces of art or movie posters. And people were, the teenagers across the world were participating in creating the legend of the Barefoot Bandit. And it was, I think it was the first sort of modern outlaw folk hero, where people are participating in a new way.
Yeah, it would be wrong to think that, to say that everyone in social media was in support of this, serial burglar and thief who had incurred millions of dollars in property damage. But the interesting thing was that social media became a forum to discuss it.
Mm-hmm. And he never made money off those T-shirts and websites or anything like that. He was actually burglaring basically to feed himself and get him the things he needed to do what he did.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we think, his life of crime really started was, from what we've been told, that he was literally starving as a kid at times because of his situation at home, and started breaking into neighbors' houses to feed himself. And it just was sort of this snowball effect. And then when the police are after him, he's 13 years old, he just starts living in the woods because he knows the woods, and they can't find him. He breaks into these summer vacation houses, steals whatever he can, takes a shower. He's always leaving popcorn behind and eating ice cream, chicken nuggets. He's a real, his personality comes out in what he decided to steal in these places.
Certainly his motivation would have changed over the years as well. I mean, at the beginning, he's 10, 12 years old. He's got no food in the house. He's getting the crap beaten out of him at home every day. He had a lot of reason to be out gallivanting about. When he finally started to get huge attention, though, I think it's fair to say his motivations changed.
Yeah, he started reacting, feeding the legend, playing on. At first, he's just trying to be free, and then eventually, he's like his fourth plane. He steals and flies through the no-fly zone of the opening of the Vancouver Olympics, lands the plane, and then breaks into a grocery store, steals a bunch of cheesecake and croissants, and then leaves 39 footprints, chalk footprints drawn on the floor, leading to the door where it says, "See ya." And
so he was part of his legend. He knew his legend, and he wanted to it up a bit.
He left a few notes for police to find in his crime scenes. Not often, but enough.
I'm speaking with Adam and Andrew Clay about their new documentary, Fly, Colt, Fly. So let's talk about the film now. You speak with his mother, his friends, people he met. The one missing voice there is Colt himself.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, we certainly tried. We wrote Colt a long, heartfelt letter and said, we'd really love to interview. But Colton has always been very suspicious of media, and He hasn't talked to anyone. He refuses to talk to anyone, except as part of his plea deal. When he was finally caught, he sold the rights to his story to 20th Century Fox, and they gave him, I forget, $1.3 million or something, and that money was used to pay full restitution to all of his victims. And he wasn't allowed to profit from it himself, but it gave him a shorter sentence.
And how did you connect with the other people in his life?
We through a lot of internet stalking.
one of the guys on our team was a journalist from Camino Island, and he was actually the first journalist to write an article about Colton back in 2006 or so. Mm-hmm. And he helped us with a lot of inroads.
Yeah, that's true.
Rick Wood.
And what sparked your original interest in the subject?
It was, we were writing a screenplay about Billy the Kid at the time. And so I was doing a lot of Googling, trying to get facts. And, you know, inevitably I ran across this article after he'd stolen his third plane where people were comparing him to Billy the Kid and Jesse James. And I just, you know, I read the story and I was like, Drew, this kid's stealing airplanes, crashing them, and running off into the woods, and it just captivated our imagination. And then, you know, as we started pitching it, you know, more and more, this story just kept getting crazier. You know, we're in development at the point where he's driving stolen cars from one side of the country to the other. And we're feeding this, you know, to the broadcast. Can you believe this story? And then he just stole a plane. Oh, my God. He's landed in the Bahamas. And we're just like, he's written us a great third act. Thank you, Colton.
You know, you started making the film before he was caught?
We wanted to.
but we were still, you know, going through the development phase and getting financing.
So you're already following it, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're young filmmakers. We have a few under our belt, but we're trying to gain funding and telling people about the project, and just becomes crazier and crazier. Eventually, they had to support us.
He's in prison now. Do you think he deserves to be his sentence?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have any bad feelings about Colton. You know, we know a lot about his background, but you know, he committed a lot of crimes, and you can't just, you know, let that go. I don't. What do you think?
He's in the right place, both for him and society. And it's the wonderful, wonderful part of the film is just that he didn't hurt anyone, and he didn't get hurt himself. You know.
Would you think he's more of a classic outlaw like Billy the Kid you mentioned, or a quintessentially modern social media?
He's a
character?
New kind of outlaw.
What's different about him?
Well, I think one of the things that's different about him is, you know, he's doing pure survival, you know, and trying to remain free, and he's chasing a dream. He's chasing the dream of flying, and it's a dream that he somehow accomplishes while on the run, while starving, while living in the woods. And, you know, he's a pure runner, you know, like the fugitive. He's just trying to keep going, trying not to get caught, taking a plane, having a joyride. You know, it's a little different than the old time outlaws like Dillinger or Billy the Kid, Jesse James, who killed a bunch of people. You know, he was totally nonviolent.
It's always about money for old outlaws. And for Colton, it was obviously about the experience.
And survival.
And survival, and yeah.
Any last thoughts on the topic?
Well, what everyone's waiting to see is, you know, what happens next with Colton. He has a mentor from Boeing Air Force who's giving him training, and he's trying to become an aeronautical engineer. So we're hoping that when he comes out that he straightens his life out and you know, is successful. He's obviously a brilliant kid.
Thanks so much for talking with me.
Well, thank you.
I've been talking with Adam and Andrew Gray. Their documentary Fly, Colt Fly is premiering on Sunday at the TIFF Next Wave Festival and opening in theaters at the Royal next Friday. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.